Part 3. Hello, wherever you are.
Wait, what?
It takes me before the cut.
When Laura and Derek were orphaned, Peter took them in without a second thought. He might not have ever been the altruist his sister was, the same kind of willing martyr Laura would become. But they were family. They were blood, the kind that didn't come from a lab. And that always meant something to Peter. He always loved them. Always. He may have failed them, admittedly. But he loved them. He tried. Maybe he was just too broken, he thinks. Even then, everything about him too broken, but still too graspingly clever to give up and die. So many bottles, Styles says. He flicks one with the tip of his fingernail, and the clear crystal sound rings out in the small room. Almost metallic. I'd ask what you were doing, but I'm not sure I'd like the answer. I'm expecting Scott later today, Peter says mildly. Doesn't have to even be watching Styles to know he's making a particular face. He always tells Styles when Scott is due. Though Styles seems to have a sixth sense about when he's going to stop by anyway. Years of practice. Years of friendship. They both still call it a friendship, even if they haven't been face to face in years. He asked about you again, Peter continues. And your father. Stop, Styles says. He doesn't raise his voice. Doesn't sound upset, even. But Peter knows their boundaries. Scott is a wavering line in Styles' life. Prone to mood swings, but Styles' family. His life before Peter knew him is a hard line. I'll just see you tonight, okay? All right, Peter says. One for the road? But Styles is already out the door. Peter doesn't know where Styles goes when they aren't together. Styles is always crawling in and out, unannounced. Like an alley cat. A resourceful, clever thing, Styles. Might be begging at other back doors even now. Strangely enough, Peter has always thought of himself as a dog person. Senselessly loving, dependable, loyal to the point of stupidity. Unconditional acceptance. None of that really describes Peter, of course. Just what Peter wants. Peter is dogged, though. Unyielding. Good at chasing things down. A bloodhound and an alley cat, he thinks. Surely there have been stranger pairs. Scott does come by later, this time with a minimum of fuss. His new partner is at his side again, a delectable little thing. Tall, wide-eyed, outwardly cowering, but subtly vicious. And Peter has to bite back remarks about replacing Styles. Something that causes histrionics of a sort, as if Scott thinks Peter has Styles tied up in a basement somewhere. As if Styles doesn't have a freedom of movement in his life that even Peter sometimes envies. Peter puts up with it because Scott is Peter's best worker. Very dependable, very good at getting the right people to help him. He hates Peter on principle, which makes him somewhat of a hypocrite, considering Scott robs graves and desecrates the dead. But no one brings Peter's eye drape quite as fresh. Well worth the extra price. Styles slips back in that night, as promised. Hugin and Moonin don't bark, don't growl. Peter has never seen Styles feed them or drug them, try to frighten them or hurt them. Maybe they're simply as lovelorn as their owner. Peter isn't asleep yet. He rarely sleeps. Rarely rests, even when he does sleep. Would certainly wake upon Styles sliding up next to him, trembling like a leaf. I need some Z, he says quietly, eyes screwed shut, body shuddering. Not the worst Peter's ever seen him, but far from flying high. Far from painless or thoughtless, caught in the aches of his body and the torment of his mind. Peter doesn't love Styles because he's a junkie, but in spite of it. He's not saying there aren't benefits, the pliability, the sweetness of the sweat upon his brow, upon his body, the neediness, the sweetness, the beautiful smiles and the helpless laughter. Peter can't say he doesn't enjoy those particular qualities. But a Styles strung out on Z is also a Styles who isn't quite there. And Peter is jealous enough, demanding enough, to want Styles' full attention. He enjoys more when Styles is lucid. His temper, his sarcasm, the faces he makes. When he argues with Peter, spars with him. When he fucks Peter, or fucks himself on Peter, more awake, more aware, less languid, less accepting, more demanding, more greedy, everything a bright, beautiful boy should be. So why, you might ask, and it's a fair question, really, why do you give him the Z anyway? Because otherwise he'd find it somewhere else, Peter thinks. From someone who would make demands. And how intolerable a thought is that? There's always some for you, sweet boy, he says, and strokes Styles' brow until he settles against Peter with a sigh. Settled. Soothed. Sometimes Styles likes to run his fingers over Peter's scars. He'll push his face up against Peter's and rub slowly. Sandpaper his young, soft skin against Peter's raised scars. Still twitching faintly, but they can't have everything. Peter puts the gun to the base of Styles' neck, just under the brainstem, and pulls the trigger. How do you not do it? Styles asks one day. The Z, I mean. Like they could be talking of anything else. You're around it all the time. Like that's a foregone conclusion. And for Styles, it probably is. There are needle pricks in the crooks of his elbows, his knees, the V where his legs meet his torso, the nape of his neck. They're pebbled, raised slightly under Peter's fingertips. Much prettier than Peter's own scars. More socially acceptable, even. Who hasn't had a taste of Z now and then? And who leaves scars on their face in this day and age? Peter thinks about it for a moment, idly strokes through Styles' hair. I was on it once. Hooked. Worse than you are now. I hit bottom. And kept digging, and filled those holes with bodies. It was only... He pauses. Peter isn't exactly prone to feeling embarrassment or shame. It was never how he was wired, even before. But this... Oh, this. Only when I started to extract Zydrate from my niece's brain that I realized how fucked up I was. How far things had gotten. Out of control. There are many sins Peter can forgive, many faults that can be borne, but control? I quit that day. I never looked back. Styles is quiet and shivery, picking at his nails even as he presses his face into Peter's chest. You don't have to, Peter says soothingly. As long as I'm around, you'll be set. Or maybe that's what you're afraid of, he thinks, as Styles burrows closer to him. Maybe you wish someone would make you stop. Maybe I should lock you in the basement, the way Scott is always so afraid of. I don't want to quit, Styles mumbles. I hate remembering. Someday you'll hate forgetting, Peter wants to tell him. You'll hate that you've forgotten. You'll hate the faded details, the wallpaper of your brain. You'll hate that you won't even remember what you've lost. But he knows Styles won't listen. No one ever does. The grave robber comes with a warning written all over his face, with every word he speaks. But the only thing people take in is the glow. These days, every knock on the door startles Peter. He doesn't get a lot of random visitors. No street junkies looking for their fix. He leaves the volume to the quick young things. The plastic vials, the dull glows, the subpar Z pulled from already drained brains. Peter transitioned to quality a few years back. Even Hugin and Moonin only growl a little, softly, as the door opens. In his repo gear, Boyd fills nearly the entire frame. Sure, if Peter had anything at all to be frightened of. Peter has friends in high places. And that's all anyone really needs, isn't it? Friends in the right places? She requests your presence. It would be hard to call Boyd's tone mocking, but there's an underlying thread that never fails to make Peter smile. Peter waves one hand doubtfully. I assumed. Just another minute. Can't leave in the middle of the process. I'm sure you understand. Boyd looks distinctly unimpressed. Your funeral, grave robber. Peter calls her princess. Queen of the castle. It's shameless flattery, but she expects it, in some measure. And it's not precisely untrue. It doesn't gall him nearly as much as would other things. You know what I like about you, grave robber? Kate asks, empty Z vials slipping slowly around her fingers. You never stare at my tits. Even Boyd here sneaks a peek now and again. Though Boyd's impassive face doesn't betray a thing. But you never do. They're fantastic breasts, Peter says, because he's nothing but an honest man when it comes to the female form. They're just not my particular cup of tea. And Kate cracks up. I prefer my companions male, slender, and, well, rather young. Kate sighs. Laughter cut off as quickly as it had begun. Me too. She draws out, the Z beginning to really hit her system. The chattiness will fade, and the cattiness comes out in full force. Dangerous. It's lucky she doesn't seem inclined to suffer his presence any longer. She waves a hand at him. Slow. Boyd will show you out. Later, princess, Peter says. See you later. What are you doing? Styles asks, curious as a magpie. He reaches out to touch one of the beakers, but draws back after a moment, the thinking better of the open flame underneath them. "This isn't Z," he continues, a little furrow in the middle of his brow. "It isn't, no. But Zydrate will only take Peter so far. Though something will have to be done about this yellow color." "Just drawing something new," Peter says absently. "Those who don't look towards the future won't have one. Tell me, what do you think, little one? Is pain in the body or the brain?" "Everything's in the brain," Stiles says, not a moment's hesitation, and Peter presses an absent-minded kiss to the top of his head. "So it is. The one part of him the Argents could not destroy. The part of himself even time will not heal. Perhaps a kind of cosmic balance in the end." Peter doesn't know Stiles' story. Not really. He knows Stiles once lived in the neighborhood tucked under the hills, on the other side of the graveyards. An aging neighborhood. Nice, once upon a time, like so many, but as easily filled with addicts as families now. He knows Stiles' father still looks for him, that a promise Stiles extracted from Scott long ago is the only thing preventing Scott from telling Stiles' father where he is. That Stiles, for reasons he's never precisely explained, hates the Argents nearly as much as Peter does. It seems less personal, more focused on Jean Co. But Peter appreciates a good judge of character. It's breathtakingly apparent that Stiles feels guilty for something. Though whether he's actually guilty or just blaming himself seems to be a matter of debate. That his father and Scott would take him back either way seems equally obvious. Stiles is wallowing in it, the guilt. Punishing himself even as he tries to forget. For some, Zydrate is bliss, but a removed bliss. Blank. Unfeeling. Unknowing. The ultimate escape. Peter pities most Z addicts. He's been there. He's allowed to judge. It reaches a point where you have to wonder why they're alive at all, if all they're ever searching for is nothingness. Stiles is too good for nothingness. Too vibrant. Too alive. Even as he tries to stamp every last spark of himself out. Some say that before you embark on a journey of revenge, you must dig two graves. But Peter has always prided himself on his survival skills, like the proverbial cockroach. He has been planning his revenge for a long time. He spent so much time thinking. He planned, he hypothesized and plotted, turned it over and over in his head. It feels wonderful now that it's here. Worth the slow burn of it, to see Kate writhing at his feet, to see the knowledge in her eyes, the realization that it was him, that he waited all this time. In a perfect world, he might have had days to enjoy it. A slow torture, slower than what his family suffered, than what he suffered. But 5 minutes in the end will do. 5 minutes in the core of this ivory tower, in the center of the Jean Co. Empire. 5 minutes watching Gerard Argent's pride and joy gasp. Sprawl out at his feet. When only her fingers still tremble slightly, Peter turns to Boyd and smiles. "I never did understand how she couldn't see the hate in your eyes." "I don't think she cared," Boyd says, and that might be equally likely. She killed the girl I loved. And for a moment, Peter is concerned Boyd might kick Kate's body, or something equally ill-advised. Bruises wouldn't do at all. Looked painful. Excruciating. It might have taken Peter several tries, but the current results were spectacular, even by his standards. Might I ask what you're going to tell Gerard? Boyd shrugs.
OD'd on Bad Z. I barely have to tell him anything.
Good boy, Peter says. If you ever need anything from me, well, you know where to find me. I'd be very appreciative. And don't worry, I know the way out. When he gets back, Stiles is already lying on the sofa, lounging, long coltish legs thrown up over the armrest, head in a pile of pillows, a tiny metal gun dangling from his fingers, and a half-empty bottle of Z inside. The dogs are curled on the floor beneath him, licking at his fingers, lazy, and Peter shoos them away. Slides to the floor himself. Why, hello, Peter says, and kisses the corner of Stiles' mouth, just above where his dimples are prone to appearing. Hello, Stiles parrots, and grins, slow dimples flashing in and out like stars. Did you have a good day at the office, dear? Peter's answering smile pulls at his scar tissue, threatens to overtake his face. Oh, the best, he says. And this, maybe, will be his real something new.